What if your business could be a channel for your soul's calling and you could just let yourself rest into the seeds of spirit as they pulled you forward to create something that births the new paradigm in alignment with everything you ever dreamed of? Well, welcome back to Softpreneur. We are Dawn Petrin and Elisa Joachim, and we are here to help anti-establishment thought leaders and holistic wellness visionaries get expanded on how to build an aligned and abundant business by expressing your unique essence with more clarity, courage, and conviction. The world needs you to rise up into the limitless possibilities of your full potential. So let's go.
I'm so excited by this week's guest, Erin Telford, conscious business mentor for healing practitioners, coaches, and guides. She's also a breathwork facilitator and teacher training. And I met Erin at Maha Rose Center for Healing in the mid-teen aughts. I don't know what we call that decade yet. And we connected about how this was just such a epicenter for wellness practitioners at the time. And so much creativity and beauty was pouring out. And Erin came and totally cracked our hearts open in this episode. Definitely teared up multiple times. She is just a catalyst and change maker and visionary. And some of the things that we touched on were how we need to stop waiting for the ascension moment or the event or for something external to save us, but to be it, to live it, to do what we came here to do, to be the leader you're looking for. There was a real call to summon your courage so you can do that meaningful work that you came here to do and do it now with radical self-accountability. We also talked about the spiritual path as being really inseparable from business creation. She has a really beautiful way of looking at this, and I can't wait for you to listen. And she spoke deeply to healing practitioners or any spiritual entrepreneurs, if that's your calling, how to make it weave together for you, and her soulful approach to life and knowing your values. And lastly, what it really means to feel professional as a business owner and why that sort of what we call masculine container can be so essential as you put yourself out there. Can't wait for you to listen. Let's do it. Hi, everyone. We are so delighted to be here with Erin Telford. And Erin and I met many moons and expressions ago at Maha Rose Center for Healing, where I was a huge admirer of everything that she was sharing and teaching, often in the container of breathwork at the time. And yeah, we're so excited to talk to you today. And we usually kick things off with this question: do you have a spiritual practice? And is there anything you'd like to share with us about it?
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. And I feel very electrified already being in your presence. It's good to be back and reconnected from the Maha days. My spiritual practice feels very embedded in the way that I move in life. And, you know, I love the prayer that you open this up with that, the listeners, I hope maybe they get to hear sometime. It's so beautiful. My main prayer is really thank you. And it's pretty consistent and constant. And it brings up a little bit of emotion in my throat when I say that. It is consistent and constant. I'm in gratitude for all the blessings that I receive, have continue to receive, and the precious gift of my life. So I have it's interesting. I have just kind of my spiritual practice has been so embedded in my life that it's almost gotten casual. I realized it got a little bit too casual and that I needed to be a little bit more intentional and a little bit more dedicated and bring a specific time of the day to dedicate, you know, morning and evening, you know, right before bed, that I needed to initiate prayer. I needed to initiate meditation and I needed to be in receptivity. And I think that was a call. You know, I'll walk around and give thanks. I'll walk around and listen. I'll walk around and receive, you know, as I go on a hike, as I drive to the dentist, you know, whatever it might be. So it's like, it's always been in my life to talk to God, spirit, great creator. I don't have a specific name that I use. because it is the energy of the one, the energy of all that is. But sometimes I use different names depending on what I'm feeling in the moment. But it is a practice of thanks. It is a practice of dedicating time and energy to offerings and to bringing the energy of God, the energy of spirit into any of the things I'm going to create, any of the things I'm going to write, any of the circles I'm going to be offering to people, any of the teachings I'm going to be offering to people. So it's a through line, but it's become more the calling for me just really honestly within this last week to step up my devotion and step up my commitment because of now, because of what's happening now, and because of the call to be even more greatly resourced from all that is, from the divine, from God, in a time where we are needing greater resource to be able to show up even more profoundly resourced and even more clear, congruent, and in integrity, and speaking, moving, and creating from our core values. We have to know what those are. We have to know where they emerge from and what we're really bringing through. So the practice is much more clearly on point than it ever has been.
Wow, so beautiful. And it really speaks to this idea of like, what is it to be a softpreneur or a spiritpreneur? Like, I think a lot of kind of soulful entrepreneurs or creative entrepreneurs have this challenge of like, you know, the work can feel like disparate from the spiritual practice and I'd love to hear how you have how you find a way of bringing spirit first or bringing spirit into your business.
Wow. That's interesting. Okay. Thank you for giving me that window. It's a funny thing when you kind of like you walk on your path and you get to a place and you forget where you've been in the past, or you forget when things like didn't feel congruent. So I can't imagine, you know, as someone who is the creator of your own brand or the creator of your own business, everything that I create comes through me. I'm the channel. So if I'm a spiritual practitioner, then that everything I create is going to have spirit embedded in it. Like there's no way it can't. There's no way it can be separate. And if your spiritual practice, and not even like, I don't want to say like specific spiritual practices, but I feel like if the floorboards of your business, if the great foundation of your business is not emerging from your core values, then it's unstable. And if your core values include spirit, if your core values involve like devotion, dedication, exchange, receptivity, prayer, faith, and trust, like you can only move from that energy. You couldn't even put it in a corner if you wanted to. Like, where are you going to put it? How are you going to divorce and separate what you really think, feel, and believe from what you're making and how you coach and how you guide and how you channel and how you hold space? Like, that feels impossible to separate the two. And it would be a disservice also. It would be a huge disservice to the people that you're serving to suck the juice out of your own spirit and like the grace that's moving through you and not include that in what you're talking about. And I think it's like languaging, like I think language, I think that might be the difficult part, because you don't have to. I think with everything that we earn and learn, every piece of wisdom and knowledge, every initiation we have, we don't necessarily have to tell the tale. You don't have to say, you know, these are the gurus that I'm aligned with. This is who I'm a devotee of. But if you carry the philosophy and the ethos and the value system of who you are devoted to in your language, in the way that you sit in your seat, in the way that you develop the concept for your podcast, like it's in it, you know?
Yeah, I love it. So for you, it's like inseparable at this point. And that sounds like that's also what's happened in your life, right? That spirit is such a through line, it's become inseparable. And now you're like, wait, I need to be a little bit more like formal, or we might say like set a masculine container for your spiritual practices at times, right? And I hear you and I see you speaking this courage piece and this fear piece. And I think for a lot of our listeners, as well as for ourselves, and this is part of what this podcast is about, it's scary to come forward as yourself And it's like the fear can be so strong, you almost can't even hear or recognize the call of spirit. And so I wonder if you would speak to like being courageous in your life and in the ways that you're showing up, so that this thing that's guiding you, however you define, you know, your connection to the universe, can come through you.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, I wanted to say, like, when we're in like a nervous system activation, when we're in fear, it's definitely harder to hear God, but that's also when God comes through. And I think that there's a big, you know, maybe a small leap or a big leap, depending on where you are, where like the program of I can't, if I am myself, I will be punished, is that it is the key piece. It's the key piece to healing our human family. And it is so old and so ancient, you know, for so many people that do healing work, that do any kind of like work involving guiding, healing, growing, and evolving humanity and holding space. You know, we've obviously had multiple lifetimes where we have been, you know, tortured, cast out, ostracized, killed for our medicine. But I want to say also, like, come on now, you know, we're in this lifetime now. So if you got a gift, fix it. And that might sound a little harsh or a little bit aggressive, but if you're a healer and you're not healing your voice right now, get on the job. Get on the job. There's a million people out there on the internet that have the perfect thing that they want to sell you to help you with that, you know? Or, you know, do self-Reiki, get an oil. I mean, come on. Don't sleep. Like, the time is now. It's already been now. We have the tools. The tools are available for you to find courage. And the thing about finding courage is that we don't find courage for anything unless it matters to us. There's no need to find courage if it doesn't matter, because you don't care. You're afraid because it counts. You're afraid because there's some skin in the game for you. There's a risk. So you can either choose to say, I'm going to let my fear win. I was born here. I came into this life. I had a soul contract. I said yes to coming here on earth, being born in this body right now at this particular time. But you know what? Never mind. You know, what's my grandma going to think about it? What's Uncle John going to say to me at Thanksgiving? Get over it. The tools are there. And the thing is, if we don't heal through something that our soul is called to do, we suffer. The suffering of wanting to do something, intending to do something, being called to do something, and not meeting the call leads to depression. It leads to addiction. It leads to low self-worth. It leads to grasping and trying to fill that empty hole of your purpose and a lot of confusion. That's worse, honestly. I think that's worse. To throw your gifts in the trash is worse, because you suffer when you do that. You suffer when you don't meet the call of your life. And no one can sell you anything. No one can sell you courage. People can sell you strategy. People can sell you inspiration. You can eat it up all day. But at the end of the day, it has to mean enough for you to take a deep breath and open your mouth, because it means something to you and it's important. And you're not small and you're not insignificant and you're not tiny. And guess what? Yeah, not everyone's going to like you. That's life. Life isn't safe. No one ever tried to sell you that story that life was safe. It's not. So act with your heart and act with what's like, move with what's important with for you, because you're an essential piece of humanity. We need all the puzzle pieces cracking, you know, right now.
Oh my gosh, do we ever. Thank you so much. I was listening and I was like, I have to send this podcast to 3 people that we are working with before it's ready, because they need to hear that message right now. You know, it's probably more than that, but you 3, you know who you are when you hear this. And me, it's me too, right? That courage to speak and share. And I don't really mind not being liked, but I resonate with that punished thing. I've been as we do, doing a lot of personal work over the last year. And it was just recently that I was like, oh, if I ask for what I want, I'll be punished. And I was like, whoa, oh, really? Right? Like, and I think I'm not alone in that, right? I think so many of us, and it feels like whether you believe in like lifetimes and or it's just this lifetime, we can even see like on the internet with the cancel culture. And I feel also this like purposeful divisiveness where if you say one thing, it means you're this, even if it you have no other, you know, beliefs around that or values around that. It's all sort of to punish and keep small. I have a question, and I'm not in love with the term New Earth, and I think it just got like sort of like co-opted. And yet me and Elisa are like, how do we, what, but it is that, right? So I was just wondering, I see you using new and I hear you using new. And I wonder, yeah, first of all, like no shade on, I think it was Deepak or something, right? No shade on Deepak for that book. Maybe I got that wrong. But what does new mean to you? And how do you feel about New Earth? Maybe we can just come up with a new name right now, Erin. Elisa, let's do it.
Oh my goodness. I would love it. I mean, I use that terminology for ease of understanding, but I mean, anything that I feel like we've heard so many terms that have just like completely lost their meaning, or they feel a little bit too sparkly or a little bit too light. So I don't use that term frequently, but I was using it for just like easefulness and we kind of get what that means. But I think that it's more, let's see. I mean, we're all in process and progress right now. I think that there are some people that are waiting for this like a big bang moment or for some ascended master or person in human form to say, oh, it's all happening right now. But it's like, we're all doing it now. It is all happening right now. But it's moving at in the time it takes to create great change. So I think that the idea of new for me is more like, it's more like the world that we, you know, Charles Eisenstein, you know, the beautiful world that our hearts know is possible. It's more like someone being able to like, okay, I shared a Tucker Carlson podcast the other day. And I said, you know, this woman has been featured on, you know, a 50 podcasts. I chose this one because it was the longest and the newest and had the most information, but feel free to search for another one if you're not a fan of the host. You know, and I'm sure that some people saw that Instagram story and instantly thought, oh my God, she's a Republican. I had no idea, you know? And some people were like, oh yeah, it's so weird. I've actually kind of like grown fond of Tucker Carlson over the years. I never thought that would be me, you know? And other people didn't give a shit and they just wanted to, you know, watch the interesting person that was on the show. But I think that being able to have a lot more spaciousness around how we relate to each other, and being able to me, like the expanded consciousness gets into a lot less judgment, a lot more desire for connection, a lot more creator consciousness and less victimhood, and a lot more personal responsibility. And like, again, like truly moving from your core values. I have good friends that I don't agree with on everything. And I see that like that binary consciousness, polarity consciousness, is really, really limiting. So it's like the healing practitioners need to claim and own their gifts enough so that they are able to bring their courage and bring their medicine to light, into the light, and to become the type of leaders that we can really align with. And then the other critical kind of like juncture for humanity is like deprogramming from good guys, bad guys. And us versus them, like those are, that's, you know, for a humanity track, that's what we're doing right now. So the idea that like, you know, Republicans are bad and Democrats are good or vice versa, it's just like, come on, come on. Or gurus are good and, you know, priests are bad. It's so limiting. It's so limiting to name one entire, you know, race, group, ethnicity, label, you know, category as that. And it doesn't get us anywhere. It just solidifies the same trap that's been in existence for so long. So I think the newness to me looks like spaciousness and consideration of like the being that you're talking to and the desire for connection rather than than convincing or selling someone on your point of view.
Beautiful. Yeah, it's like the newness, the freshness, the refresh of, I don't know, the word escapes, but I really love what you said about, I was been thinking, it's like a lot of us were waiting for an event, right? For this big shift. And I've really felt like in these recent times too, because there's no real time, it's like we are the event, right? We're the events happening right now within all of us. And I think when people started talking about new earth or new paradigm, it's like that will happen in the future and we're here and we're not new earth yet or however it works. But to see that all these, especially in the last, I've felt it more in the last several years, it's like every action, every conversation is it, and it contributes to like the greater field of change and possibility, which is really exciting. And maybe it just defies words, right?
Yeah. And I think one thing, I mean, I don't think this is, nothing's too much to bring up, but I just was thinking about this like before we got together today. Another piece of deprogramming for all of us in some way, shape, or form is waiting for the savior. And for some people, the savior is the big daddy or mommy in the White House. And for the other half of us, you know, or three quarters of us, it's the big event. It's the magical ascension moment. And waiting for the savior allows us to offload responsibility to someone else to do it. And it's got a mild to medium level of victim consciousness attached to it. I'm just going to wait until the sky opens up and then everything will be okay. When the magical thing happens, I can relax, you know, and maybe I will never have to use my voice because I'm just waiting for the ascension event. And like, it's happening right now. If anyone doesn't realize that it's happening right now, it's like, if we are every single human on this planet, every single being, spirit, beyond in this galaxy, we're all part of the main event. And if we don't recognize that we are woven, we're all a, you know, unique divine thread woven into the tapestry of the human family or of humanity, then we can offload responsibility onto someone else. And we're all responsible. We're responsible for, you know, growing our kids, raising our kids in a way that's going to allow them to be their best version of themselves. Like, we have a responsibility for our creations. We have a responsibility for our prayers. We have a responsibility for how we treat the earth. And if we offload that onto waiting for the big event, then we don't have to purchase in as full of a way as we can. And we need the full way.
Yeah. I feel like that's really alive for a lot of like healer types and sensitive types too. And like this idea of like, oh, to go back to what we were saying before, right? It's so scary to take that responsibility to recognize we have the power. And it can really feel often like that the saying yes to that huge invitation, the huge initiatory invitation, is like that wheel of resistance, right? Or what you were saying, that the suffering and the struggling, we're so sometimes afraid of that. I had that actually, Dawn led us in a family constellations for our business in a group last week. And what I noticed when I connected with my business was like, oh, she's waiting for me to like take the invitation to step up to a really big field. And super, like, I don't want to say it was scary because I don't want to affirm that, but it was just like, oh, wow, this is like, it's that. It's like waiting for like, you know, the parentified figure to take that responsibility, like take the baton that I think each of us is being handed. And this like, we came here for this, right? Like we came to be the event or to be the ascension in the light right now.
And I think sometimes you can fantasize the invitation as being much larger than it actually is. You know, it feels so big for you because what you need to summon inside yourself to take the action feels really large. But I love the idea of everything being right-sized for each of us, because not everybody, the invitation may be huge to our hearts and our souls, but it doesn't mean that we need to become, I don't know, I used to say Oprah or Tony Robbins. I'm like, I don't think anyone wants to be Oprah anymore. You know, 10 years ago, that was like a goals, you know, for a lot of people. But Danielle Laporte, let's say, or something. I don't know. Like, I don't even know who the goals people are anymore. Maybe there aren't any, but you know, you could summon this massive moment into yourself and write your manifesto on Instagram. And like, you're like, oh my God, I'm meeting the call. And like three people like it, no one's on it. You know, like right size contribution. You're going to come out of the gate in a way that feels like you are galloping like 1,000 horses and it's going to be met. It's going to be met how it's going to be met. You know, it's like you don't meet the call and then all of a sudden you're canceled for the one Instagram post you've ever done and you're getting raked all over the internet. And, you know, like you're going to write a newsletter that feels dazzlingly vulnerable for you. And like maybe one person writes you back. It's or not, or you get a huge outpouring of love and champagne and all the things. But, you know, I think the thoughts around the invitation being so big and so important are not always, they're important for your soul, but the initial movement is not as scary as you think. It might get scarier later, you know, when you get more and more visible, but you're actually safe to come out of the gate. And then you will be honed and refined and grown through it as you do receive some criticism, as you do receive some opinions.
Thank you for that. And I think I want to come back to this, like how big our business needs to be or how big our business is in relation to that. You're like saying like Oprah or Tony Robbins or, you know, a lot of our people are like Kelly Brogan followers and they're like, she has a business, but I do not have a business. And it's like the call and the business, are they the same thing in this day and age since we have to, you know, create value for currency so we can purchase food? Like, I think that our call might be our business. And there's just something there. Since I know that you work with a lot of healers who feel the call to be in business for themselves, right? And I wonder if you could speak to this a little bit, like until you have 30,000 followers on Instagram, it's not a business. Or unless, you know, there's that like 10K months, you know, I don't know if you get those ads, like get your business to 10K. Now it's a real business. So what do you think? When does it become a business? And when is it worthy of it? When is your work worthy of your attention and belief in it, do you think?
Well, I mean, I think I want to say like first pass answer is that it's a business when you exchange currency for your services, you know? And if you don't want that to be money, if you want that to be trade, sure. But I would say money for services. Your business is a channel for your calling. Your business is a channel for your service. And if you know, it's interesting because I see people who are dedicated and ferocious, like they don't want to work for anyone else. They want to work for themselves. So they do the things that they need to do to be able to have a business, which is just going to look like a way to communicate with current and future clients. Easy ways for people to sign up for your services, you know, a business bank account. Like the business basics to actually have a business can feel incredibly clunky and difficult to set up. But, you know, if you feel that you want to build and grow something, a business is a beautiful channel for your healing services, for your coaching, for your oracular transmissions, whatever it might be. I do see a lot of people treating their businesses like a hobby or like a lemonade stand. And everyone suffers in that equation as well. So I think if you don't take yourself seriously, i.e. you, oh my God, I can't deal with my inbox. Like I can't deal with my inbox a lot, which means that you are not trustworthy because you are ungrounded and disorganized. So that's going to make a real shaky business structure. You know, you don't have good customer service. You know, like what if your cell phone operator was like, oh my God, I'm just in a weird mood. I can't get back to them. You know, like the internet's out. Oh my God, I don't know what to say. Oh my God, I don't know what to say. I'll think about it. You know, we have to act like real business owners. If you want to have a real business, you have to participate as a real business owner. You need to have structures and you need to have services and you need to deliver them and you need to create relationships.
And it doesn't have to be necessarily in the way it was like when you had a boss who was a dictator either, right? So yeah, I wonder if you could, because I'm so interested in this like Prada to breathwork journey. And so I wonder if you could give us a little bit of your business journey as well as what it means for you to have, I'm going to say it again, these like masculine containers for your business and still being able to be this like divine being whose business is channeling through her.
So I'm going to take you back a little bit. When I was in high school, I worked for a telemarketing carpet cleaning company. Okay. And my BFFs worked there as well. It was like a strip mall, you know, weird little business cubicle with cubicles. And I believe we even smoked cigarettes indoors while we're on the phone. I think we were doing that. I know our bosses were doing that. And one day, I don't know what happened. I wanted to take a break and he said no or something. I don't know what happened, but I was a very mouthy teenage girl and I air quotes talked back and he called me a name and told me to get the F out. And I said, okay. And, I looked at my friends. They stood up too and we walked out the door and I was like, I am never going to work for a stupid person again in my life. I'm never going to work for a person who has dumb rules that don't make sense, who calls me names, who limits my freedom and tells me what to do. I didn't know how I was going to make that happen. Fast forward, that was like 16. I think I was 16 years old then. And then fast forward to working retail at 21. I had a guy trying on jeans. And I don't know how we got to talk to him. He was like, oh yeah, I work 6 months out of the year. And then I live in Thailand for the other 6 months. And I was like, are you joking? That's a thing? What? You can just work for half the year? Okay. All right. Still didn't know how I was going to get there, but I was committed. I was committed. Somehow, some way I'm going to figure it out. And then, so I worked in fashion, did another little weird corporate stint, worked in fashion, and then had like the most horrible breakup of my life. I was like, this guy, he still stands out in my mind. You know, those ones that just stand out as like, oof, that was a good one. So I got dumped and I moved to New York because I was like, San Francisco's not big enough for the both of us. So I am going to New York. And so that's where I got the Prada job. I got another job. I worked at Bill Blass Couture Company, and then it was Prada after that. And then I started getting really beat down. I got very beat down emotionally, spiritually, energetically. It wasn't. I could not. I was dragging myself there every day. It was so wrong. It was so incorrect for my spirit. And I didn't really get why for quite a while. You know, I had to be kind of like get to the point of having a panic attack one day in a laundromat. I never had one before, never had one since. But I was like, I am working at a job that is making me sick and I can't do this anymore. And I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And that was actually when I started praying daily. I started praying every day. I started talking to God in a way that I never had before. And I was like, I don't know where to go. I don't know where to turn. Please give me a sign. And then I got a sign and the sign was reading about this woman who was getting sick from her job. Her fancy titled cool job was making her sick. And she went to acupuncture and the guy fixed her up and let her know, you know, she learned a lot more about herself and her body and her physiology and her emotions. And I was intrigued. And so I sent away for the catalog for acupuncture school. And it's funny, the catalog. I mean, that was back in 2000. I mean, the internet was on at that point in time. It seemed so far away. And I got the catalog and I flipped through it. And I was like, I have never been so intrigued. I haven't been so intrigued or inspired by something in so long. It was like ancient wisdom, modern solutions. And I was like, this is it. This is my sign. I'm doing this. And so I quit my job, started waiting tables to help put myself through school and went through four and a half years of acupuncture school. And then that was it. That was the golden ticket for me. I had My website was created. So the minute I got my license, I could like push publish on my website, had my office rented, was all ready to go. And I didn't have a plan B. I didn't have any family support. And what I did was racked up 40 grand on my credit cards to like, that was partly paying my rent. Cause I, you know, for a minute, you don't have any money coming in when you're trying to gather clients and grow your business. But that was the beginning. And so that was in 2010. And it's been, yeah, over 14 years that I've been full-time in a healing practice. And it's everything I've ever dreamed of, honestly, you know, what it is given back to me. And like, this is funny. The first word that comes to mind is satisfaction, but like, I am so deeply satisfied. And like, I am never not in awe about what I'm allowed to do in this life. And it gives so much back to me in the way of time freedom, financial freedom. But the biggest gift is like seeing what happens in people's lives. And the healthy exchange that happens through that is one that allows me to take really beautiful care of myself and have a level of like peace and harmony and groundedness and rootedness in my own life. And yeah, I don't know if I answered the question, but that's the story, at least.
I love it. I also love, I don't love this, but like the racking up the credit card debt and no plan B. I mean, that's courage, right? That's like, I'm going to have to make this work because this is like the option. I also, I like spent almost 2 decades waitressing or whatever. It was so interesting to me how many female entrepreneurs did that, who spent time like serving. And I feel like there's something about like serving. It's almost like you're a little business unto yourself. So if you are a waitress, or you probably don't call yourself that anymore, but if you're a server out there in the world and you want to have your own business, maybe know that you already do kind of have that business. And yeah, that feels scary, that no plan B. And it's the same thing that I think I did and that Elisa did, really similar. Like, well, there's no plan B. This is either it or it's nothing. And I also want to like point out, like, you had the website ready to go before you were even licensed, right? And we're actually like putting together a website intensive, because a lot of what we hear from people is like, I don't know how to make a website. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to like what to put on it. And I think for a lot of people, it feels like a business when they have a website, you know? Yeah. And then tell us where breathwork came in.
Yeah. And I think a website does make you feel official, especially if you're doing a lot of virtual work as well, because it's your storefront. Yeah. Or maybe your Instagram page is your storefront, you know? Okay. Breathwork. Yeah. Okay. So I was, I've been an acupuncturist, herbalist and Reiki master for 5 years. And then I went to, and that was the year that I paid off my debt, I believe, or it was maybe like the year before. So I had like finally started making money to the point where I was like, okay, you have vacation money now. You can go on vacation. And so the first vacation I took was with our beloved yoga friend, Luke Simon. So went to Nicaragua for a yoga retreat. And it was before dinner. I think it was like night two. It was pretty early on because we were still getting to know each other, you know, everyone on the retreat. And it was before dinner and it's a yoga retreat. So Luke says, we're going to do breath work. And I'm thinking we're going to, you know, alternate nostril breathing, you know, some breath holds, just like chilled out, breath of fire, normal yogic breath. And we lay down and we start breathing. And I'm a very easily emotional person. You know, I'm a sensitive person. I'm an emotional person. And I'm starting to feel like I wanted to cry. And I was like, I'm just breathing. Why do I want to cry? Like what? And I did even, it's funny because I opened my eyes. I looked around because I was confused by what was going on, because I was starting to hear other people cry. And I was like, why are they crying? And then I looked to both sides. I'm like, oh, wow, they're having like real big emotional experiences. And one of them, the woman on my right, her mother had died like within the year. And then the man on my left, his grandmother who raised him had died like within the year as well. And so I was like, oh, well, they're grieving, you know? Okay. And I just continued to breathe. And I was like, okay, well, if it's okay for them to cry, then it's okay for me to cry too. So I started crying, and then we all started screaming, and I'm pushing out all this rage that I never had a place to put. And then my sister had died 6 years earlier. And she came to the session. You know, she came to the session and she put her hand on my heart. And I want to cry just like recalling it, you know, it was so big. Like she hadn't come to me like that. She was like right there. And then we end it. And I feel like I took a hero dose of MDMA, you know, I'm just like, my heart is so blown out. My heart is just like so full. And I said to Luke, I'm like, you know, I didn't even know we were going to like close the circle. I'm like, can we hold hands? You know, like I just want to touch everybody. I just want to connect. I felt so much love for myself. I felt so much love for the group. And again, it's like day two. We're still getting to know each other. We're still journeying together. And then I felt love for the whole world. And we held hands. And I was like, what the fuck? What is this? Where did you learn this? What is this? And he told me about our teacher, David Elliott, and then ran to my room. We had real wonky internet in Nicaragua, but I signed up for the next retreat he was offering to go check him out, see if I liked him. And that was that, pretty much. I went to New Mexico and did a retreat with him with a real guarded eye, I'm going to say. I went into it with a real guarded eye because there were a lot of like gurus not acting right. At that, there was a lot of stuff kind of coming out at that point in time. He doesn't identify as a guru, but I was like, male spiritual teacher. Let's see, you know, let's see what you're about. And he passed the test. He passed the test. So that was that. And what made the eventual switch, you know, I thought I was going to be doing acupuncture until I was like 90. You know, I was like, this is going to be last breath medicine. Like no matter how gnarled with arthritis my hands get, I'm going to be able to do this fine motor movement. I'm good to go. And, but with the breath work, I realized because I'd already kind of transitioned my acupuncture practice into more karmic destiny path kind of spiritual treatments. There's like a pre-communist acupuncture is a lot more witchy, has a lot more spirituality. I mean, like post-communist acupuncture does as well, but there's quite a bit of the lineage that kind of gets left behind in that traditional Chinese medicine track. And so I was already kind of working in that arena with people. And I realized that I wanted people to be able to recognize that they were the ones that were creating that feeling in their body. They were the ones that had the vision. They were the ones that connected the dots. They were the ones that had the emotional release. They were the ones that generated that vibration in their body. I didn't want to be the magical person that made them feel good, but they didn't really understand why or how. I wanted them to realize that they were creating that experience in their own bodies for themselves and that I was just a conductor of the energy. So I could do what I could do in like 20 acupuncture treatments, I could do with one breathwork treatment. And they could walk away knowing that like you did that. You know, you did the heavy lifting. And so that was what shifted for me.
That is so cool in so many ways. We have a couple of clients who are TCM acupuncturists, and it seems like that's what they want. They're like, these people need to take their sovereignty as opposed to coming in necessarily for me to be the one that brings their nervous system down. And then breathwork wise, I used to own a yoga studio and people would ask to come do breathwork there regularly. And after a couple of sessions of breathwork, I was like, oh boy, actually, I only think facilitators I really trust can do that in this space because holy moly, the things that move so quickly. I mean, I guess it's like an hour or two, so it's not that quick, but when we're with the breath. So how would you, this is like slightly selfish, although I don't have that studio anymore, but what would you say someone should be looking for in a breathwork practitioner so that space can be held appropriately? Do you have any advice for that?
Ooh, I think that's kind of tough. Are you asking like someone looking for, I want to do a one-on-one breathwork session with someone, how do I choose them? You know, I'm just going to go with vibes. I'm going to go with vibes. Yeah, I really think people should vet people. I really think everybody should vet everybody, whether you're going to a single, you know, group yoga class or you want to energetically assess or intuitively assess in your own way and whatever you're looking for. And, you know, sometimes you have an experience and you go, that wasn't it. now I know a little bit more about what I do want. You know, like I went to that class, I had this really big experience in the group, and then I asked a question and like they weren't able to answer it. And they weren't able to get back to me, or they didn't say, I'm not sure, but I'll find out for you. You know, I think that you can start to see, depending on what you're looking for, you can see. I mean, the great thing about breath work is that you can go to a session with a very inexperienced practitioner and have a life-changing experience because you were the one doing the work. But I think that it's like the solidity and the profundity of the container, because you can't take, this is a gray area. I want to say you can't take anyone anywhere you haven't gone. But again, that's not true with breathwork, because you might have a client that has had, you know, a traumatic history that you can't even touch. You have no knowledge of that. You have not been there. You have not had that experience. And they go through a healing and an understanding and a repair process in that session with you that you've never been there. You may never go there, but they went there.
Oh, no. I think this is so fascinating, because it's also like this interesting question about how we choose, like, how do you choose a business coach if you feel like you need a coach, right? Or a practitioner in general. And it's like the shift so much is toward radical self-responsibility, even if you're choosing, and like that dance with the divine that's dancing through us, like it's always perfect, right? For what we need, whether that's like, I had a coach who couldn't meet me and I had to sort of find the answer in a different way, or like, yes, this practitioner at this moment, everything. And we're like work together. So it's just so fascinating how that also goes into like seeking the business coach.
It really does. Yeah. And seeking the healer. Cause I think even in like, you know, another dynamic that's still very much in play is like the predator prey dynamic. And you may, you know, if you're someone who's feeling desperate and afraid, you might choose someone who's got the biggest, shiniest baubles, and then learn that all that they had were big, shiny baubles. Or you may have to learn about giving your power away to someone that is like smoke and mirrors before you're more secure in your choices and you know what you don't want. So then you learn what you do want to look for. So I think that, as you're saying, there is great benefit in like choosing having an experience that wasn't what you wanted, and then becoming ever more clear about like, oh, I'm really looking for someone that feels like this to me, someone who feels really grounded, or someone who feels like, I want someone a little bit more unconventional, or I want somebody who has these ideals and isn't afraid to say them out loud. So I think like, yeah, we become ever more clear in what we're looking for, especially when we have experiences that are not so great or not what we really needed or wanted. So it all comes out in the wash. But yeah, I think just like checking in, like just a basic vibe check of like, how do they feel for me? Does this feel like someone who feels like solid? Is there warmth in their voice? You know, are they living the life that I'm interested in potentially living? Are they exhibiting the qualities that I'd like to grow into a little bit more?
I love this so much. And something I wanted to ask you about, because as I've like witnessed your, building your platform over the years and like the different expressions of your business, it seems like you have a real ease with creating content, sharing, also like, and I don't know if this is partly your fashion and aesthetics background, but like creating beauty with design and how you share, and like matching or marrying beautiful visuals with like the beauty of the message or the strength of the message. And so, yeah, kind of a segue, but fully related. It's like, how do you go about creating content that feels, you know, resonant and like you, and that you feel confident to share, or at least like, maybe that's a journey and a process, but I'd love to hear a bit about your content creation.
I mean, I think when I started on Instagram, it was after breathwork, because I had a friend in the breathwork community, Ashley Neese, and she was like, and I think she's written like a couple books at this point. She's got a Substack. She's a great writer, but she was like, you should try Instagram. And I was like, well, I'm already on Facebook. Like, why do I need to get on Instagram? And so I think when I started Instagram, it was like, it was a different, I mean, Instagram has gotten through so many different chapters, and its weirdness and its largeness. But I kind of began as a little bit of like a dear diary. You know, I was like, I'm just going to share. And that's what I did with my newsletter for like the previous 5 years, is that I would write weekly and I would be kind of like combing the journey of my life to see, what can I share from my own process that's going to be human, relatable, and helpful? You know, what am I learning? What am I noticing within myself and around myself and about myself that is human? You know, that's like we all move with a lot of the same stuff. And so I was in that practice of writing from that perspective. And then I carried that forward onto social media. And I'll just share what I was like, what I was learning and what was challenging for me and how I was finding a way through and what was inspiring for me and practices and processes that I was using. And a lot of it, you know, a lot of the times when I write, it's just a flood of inspiration. Like something just moves through and I'm like, gotta share this. And I think I've built that muscle enough times where it's not frightening. It's just like, well, this is what's going on for me. You know, like you can't dispute it. You know, this is my story. You know, you can get mad or something if you want to, but this is my process and my experience. I'm going to share it with you because probably it's the same for many of you, or it has been, or you can relate to it. And I think that was like when my voice got really loud in 2020, and I was saying a lot of things that were a lot more creating a lot of heat and a lot of conflict. I continued to create from that place because it was like for all the people that wrote me and said, I'm so thank you. You know, I got kicked out of my family, or I can't go to my dad's funeral, or I feel crazy. I'm always, I like a seed sound of my creations is always like not wanting anyone to feel alone and wanting to be a reminder that we're not alone, that there's so much that we move through that is common, even if the ways that it looks is really different. So I think that's like the content is created through wanting to just my own personal expression, wanting to express, but also wanting to serve and connect in that way. And I think that, you know, it's funny now because I'm in a little bit of I don't know what to share because I have like two different audiences that I want to talk to, and they're different. And so I've like slowed down a little bit with what I'm sharing because I sure like to talk and I sure like to write, but I'm in a little bit of like a liminal space about who exactly I'm talking to. So I just keep talking. But yeah, I think that's the thing, is that I feel strong and allowed and self-permissioned in whatever I do choose to share. And I do see the benefit that it has for people. I do see the connection and the relationship building. You know, it's like some might argue that Instagram's not really a community. And honestly, it doesn't always feel like that. But when it does, it sure feels great. And I like that. And as far as like imagery and graphics and all that stuff, I thankfully have a very wonderful best friend who is an excellent photographer, is very magical and brings me through in different ways. And then I've got a great web designer who makes some Canva stuff for me. So I just have the benefit of other people who have great style and design practices that really help share me and show me in a way that is fun.
Thank you, Erin. I love that. And, you know, I feel like that's a kind of maybe an Instagram or content creation hack that we haven't talked so much about, but this idea of like, sometimes it does take that like support team to like usher you through creating content that feels as beautiful as you want it to be. If that's like, you know, a hang up or so, like for me, I recently brought in somebody who is a designer who I absolutely love, like her aesthetic. So it's helped me to be like, okay, I can like show up in a way that feels really good, and it's helped sort of like kind of gathering team around us to maybe even like, Dawn and I use this word doula sometimes in business because we doula clients, like we have a couple book doula clients. So we're like holding space for them to write their book and bring their creative babies into the space. And I feel like having that team, like having our creative supporters in business and an expression is something that can be so valuable. Do you have like doulas around, would you say?
I could probably use some more. You know, I could honestly probably use some more. But I mean, there's stuff like Canva is totally unintuitive to me. There are things that I will just not do because I would want to tear my hair out, you know? So I think that like part of feeling like you have a business is feeling like your insides match your outsides. I think that like congruence of like style and again, it doesn't have to be super fancy, but it has to feel like you, you know, like you know, when you feel good in your clothes, you know, when you feel like who I am is reflected, you know, I like how my hair looks. Like I like this top. I love this necklace, you know, saying that is what someone would say, not me saying that about myself, but you know when we feel congruent. And so I think that like to have your, if you need to, you know, I use Word Swag for a million years for doing like text over photos. And then I had my, my latest web designer, she walked me through holy moly, it was a big branding. It was almost an ordeal. I mean, I had to define myself so clearly, you know, what I wanted people to feel, what I wanted people to experience when they landed on my website. It made me define myself in a way that I never had to before so that my external expression could match my internal expression. And I think that that can be that masculine energy, that can be that definition that can make you really feel like this is a business, you know, like I have clear graphics. I have fonts, you know, I have things that I have a visual expression that feels like me. This matches me and I can feel really proud. And I want to share these things because this feels good. It feels resonant with me.
Yeah, I still, for All Connected. So we have the marketing agency and I'm like all behind that. We used to have a partner who still consults for design and she like helped us brand. And I'm like, oh, this is great. But for my own personal brand, I'm like, oh, that's like part of my personal work. I'm like, sure, let's brand other people. No problem. And then I'm like, what is my vision and vision? And how, yeah, I had a business coach recently. She's like, so I Googled your name and it looks like a picture from 10 years ago. And it says you're not taking clients anymore. And I'm like, right, of course, I suppose I should do something about that because of like my personal website. I just sort of like was like, oh, good. We don't need to do that anymore. Now I have a business. I've partners. So yeah. And like, as we do branding, like strategy and design for people, we feel it. Like people are like, whoa, you reflected back to me who I am. And now I feel more confident to go out there and be online. And yeah, we're like, here are your Canva templates and your brand colors and fonts. And these are the sort of images that would work for you. It's sort of the cobbler's children's shoes for myself. But yeah, I love it. Erin, so you said you have two different audiences. Why don't you speak to both of them right now and tell people how they could work with you in different ways? If that's, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So one, I mean, I don't know if I can ever just do one audience, but one group of human beings is just all of them. You know, it's any person that wants to work on their childhood programming and their wounding and their personality adaptations and all the ways that those original wounds have carried over into their adult lives and their any trauma, any abuse, any addictions, any of those things, any of the ways that you have carried forward what you experienced earlier in your life into your adult life that is now creating disruption and challenge for you. So anyone, anywhere that wants to come in and untie some knots via a breathwork session or a breathwork group, you know where to find me. And then for those healers, coaches, therapists, counselors, oracles, guides, mentors, for people who do any kind of like healing, growth, and evolutionary work with other human beings, I like to help people work on their own self-mastery and their own business growth. So I do mentor people. I call it evolutionary business for your business and your soul, because we know that business is a spiritual initiation. It's going to push on everything. It's going to ask you to step into a new identity, and that can be very disarming and threatening and intense to be able to take ownership of yourself, who you are, what you do, who you serve, who you help, and that it's actually valuable. And so sometimes you just need a little bit of like straightening out of the systems and a little bit of courage in the throat to be able to bring through greater creativity and to be able to actually speak into your vision, speak life into your impact. Other times people are just starting out and they just need that groundwork. It's like you need the ground, you need the four walls, and your heart is the house, and you go forward from there. But I really do believe, I heard Joe Dispenza said this the other day, probably a million other people have said this, but it's like, if we want more evolved conscious leaders in the world, guess what? We become them. We become them, which means that we do need to know what our core values are. We do need to move with congruent integrity between our personal and professional lives. And we do need to find what means the most to us so that we can find courage to speak life into it and speak it into existence and be able to reach and speak to the people that we can actually help the most and whose lives we can change.
Yay. Okay. Sign me up and let's do it. And actually, though, I do think this kind of almost brings us back to the beginning and back to that courage piece and to that, what do we call it? New paradigm. That's what we're joking with. It's not the new earth. It's the new paradigm. Same difference. I need to get over the caring what the words are, right? Reclaim.
I get it though. We need a lot of new words.
Yeah, exactly. And so I guess what I would love to hear about or speak about before we end is this idea that we don't need to tear down the old system, but that we can, this is what I'm reading into what I've seen you putting out there, but rather than needing to go out there and bomb it, we can just sort of create. And I wonder if you'd like to speak to that, that idea of creating the new rather than needing to end the old, or maybe not rather, but yeah. Can you leave us with some wisdom on that? Because I loved it so much.
Okay, sure. Yeah. You know, I'm not really interested in being anti anything or in destroying. I just want to birth, you know, I just want to create. And so I think dedicating energy into fighting, effing, as they say, I don't know, you know, destroying, it's already doing it all by itself. It's doing a really good job of disintegrating. I think that the levels of corruption and deceit are so, I want to say almost unavoidable at this point in time. And I think that's disruptive and destabilizing for a lot of people to see that at that level. But I'm not interested in changing the government at this point. I'm interested in changing humanity. And we can do that all by ourselves. So I think that there's a composting effect of the rotting of the current systems that is leaching some good juice back out into the collective that we get to utilize, you know? And if you want to create, be a part of, be in process of a new paradigm or a new whatever, or just something better, a new chapter, a new vision, then we have a responsibility to move in our lives with a greater level of integrity and truth and love and consciousness. You know, it matters how we treat people. It matters how we talk to people. It matters the relationships we have with our families, with our friends. We can't treat people as casual objects. You know, I see people that say they value community, but you know, I don't know, you forgot to return that text for a week or something because you're so busy. I mean, there's just, human beings are valuable and we have a responsibility to each other and we have a responsibility to our own creative capacity that lives within us and our spiritual calling and our spirit, like the sacred responsibility of the gift of this human life isn't a joke. So we got to turn off Netflix and get off the phone and, you know, take a walk and pray a prayer and move your body and call a friend. You know, we need to, it's not natural how we live these days. There's way too much isolation. And so I think that, you know, fortifying your relationships, finding what you believe in so firmly and so profoundly that you're willing to speak to it and for it, and standing with what you want to stand with and for and what you're willing to create and what you're willing to generate courage for is much more important than watching the gnashing of the teeth that's happening in the external world. You know, plant a tree, call your mom, you know, build a garden, ride your bike, you know, whatever it is. We all have daily operations that we pour into the frequency of the field. that are going to be a lot more generative and a lot less destructive. And we can really help each other in ways that I think we haven't ever seen before. We don't have to wait for the ascension moment. We don't have to wait for the president in the sky to solve all the problems. We start solving the problems we can solve. You know, everyone can look around at their life and go, yeah, I should have that conversation. I should really step up over there. Yeah, I really need to handle that, you know? And I think if everybody handled their own business in a beautiful way, I think that we can create some ripples, some good waves.
Yay. Oh, Erin, thank you so, so much for being on today. Yeah, I can't wait. Like I said, we need to put this out next week. No, that's not possible, but thank you so much. And I guess on Instagram is a place to find you, which is what? At Erin Telford _, right? I was just going to say, is that two m-low? No, _, and then your website would be erintelford.com. And I think when this comes out, it'll be too late to do breathwork groups with you, but I'm imagining you'll have some next year because you also actually teach facilitation, right, of breathwork. Cool. Well, maybe
yeah, the trainings will be done for the year, but there will be registration will be open for the first online training in the spring next year. So,
okay, amazing. Yay. Wonderful. Is there any last thing, any little last bit of something you want to share?
I want to say thank you for having me. It's so beautiful to reconnect with you, Elisa, and amazing to meet you, Dawn. And I think the one last thing that's coming through is just, I believe in us. Like, I really, truly, potently, profoundly believe in us as a human family. I really believe in us, and we're all part of it. No one is small, too small. No one is insignificant. Everyone has a right-sized part to play, and we just need to play our part well. And if you need to zhuzh up your part a little bit, then do that. But you know, we're good. We're doing it right now. So believe in us. Believe in the possibility. Don't believe the hype. You know, and play your part well, and we're all going to be okay.
Love it. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Softpreneur Podcast. If it resonated with your ethos and your soul, we would be so grateful to you if you leave a review wherever you listen to your podcast.
This helps us grow so much, and it also helps more visionary business owners find the show so they can make their dream life their real life. So many blessings and love.